Let's please turn in your Bibles to Revelation 12:3. And last week we saw that the two witnesses, the two prophets that were beamed down by God to Jerusalem to preach for the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period, were killed by the Antichrist. And, you know, when the whole world rejoices because it got rid of those God thumpers, Bible thumpers, kind of like how the world is today. Just kind of want to wish they didn't have to hear about God and His judgment and His word and everything. And so they kill them. They have a party for 3.5 days while they leave their bodies in the streets of Jerusalem. And then the two witnesses, they come alive. And then great fear falls upon the people of the world because, and I conjecture, and this is being put up right now. This is the timeline. There's a sheet back there. And by the way, some people that might be listening online or YouTube, if you're finding our studies on YouTube, which usually by the end of the week, this study will be on YouTube. And by the way, all of you people that get up and get in front of that camera, you're on YouTube too. With or without a mask. And so this is in our website too. If you go to our website, calvarypo.org, sermon archives, I've made this timeline a downloadable PDF. And so you can, if you're listening online somewhere else in the country or whatever, you can just download it and you can know what we're talking about when we get to it. But we saw that these witnesses come to life at 3.5 years into the tribulation period of 7 years. So the first half, they're witnessing, they're killed by the Antichrist, they come back alive. We'll cover that on the timeline here in a minute. But the world is partying until that happens, and the fear falls on them, and probably because there will be the knowledge of these scriptures during the tribulation period. Even though they probably got rid of the Bibles, and they've killed as many Christians that knew about the Bible as they can, there will still be, God will preserve some people that know. And so people will be confronted with the fact, you know, that Bible said this was going to happen, and it did happen. Now, when people know what the Bible says and it happens, does that mean they all repent and get right with God? Isn't that crazy? Don't you think that's really crazy? That this book has been 100% right on all the prophecies pertaining to the first coming of Jesus. All the prophecies are right about what's happening to our world today as we're rapidly coming to the collapse of America, which fits into the biblical prophecy that someday all the nations are going to become one global federation of 10 nations. And we see these things be fulfilled that Bible prophecy people have been talking about for decades. And then we see them, so everybody should be repenting, right? All your friends at work and all your, you know, they're all saying, hey, you know, that Bible is starting to come true, so I'm going to just repent. No. Why? Because there's a devil. And he deceives the people. And chapter 12 of Revelation gives us information about the devil, the most important of which it concludes with realizing that he is defeated in heaven. He's kicked out. Jesus wins. God wins. We win. And he is cast down to the earth for the last 3.5 years. And I think it's his casting down to the earth where he actually possesses the Antichrist to give him the power to kill the two witnesses. So a lot of things are happening right there at the middle, as that chart says. And so he then goes on a rampage, as we're going to find out in this chapter. He goes on a rampage to try and thwart God by wiping out all the Jews that are on the earth. But he fails because God takes those that believe in Jesus and what he wrote in Matthew 24, what he taught to John in Revelation chapter 12. Some Jews are going to be aware and they're going to do what Hebrew prophet Jesus said 2,000 years earlier. And they're going to, by faith, run to the wilderness of Jordan. And God is going to miraculously protect them like he miraculously protected the Jews when they fled from Egypt and the Red Sea parted. It's going to be the same thing. It's going to be miraculous, and so that's where we're headed today, is to really see Satan's demise, ultimately, and that's cool that he loses, right? Amen. Revelation 12:3, this is a review of verses 3 through 5 that we covered last week. And another sign appeared in heaven, behold, a great fiery red dragon. Who's that? Satan. Having 7 heads and 10 horns, 7 diadems on his head. We're not going to talk about that till later. His tail drew a third of the stars. Those are now fallen angels. We covered all this in detail last week. Stars of heaven, and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which is the Jews, Israel, who was ready to give birth 2,000 years ago to devour her child. What was the child that the Jews brought to the earth by the promises of God? Jesus. As soon as it was born. When was that? How was that? That's referring. It's not prophesying because this is being written into, John is being inspired to write this after Jesus has been, here on earth. So it's not prophecy, but it's alluding to when Jesus was born, Herod the Great, inspired by Satan, when he found out that the wise men deceived him and didn't come back and tell him where Jesus was so he could, quote, worship him, meaning he wanted to kill him. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you need to read your Bible. We're not going to go there. And so then Herod the Great, when he got betrayed, he sent his troops to go and kill every child 2 years and younger in Bethlehem, thinking, Satan in him, thinking, I'll get him. I'll get this Messiah that the Jewish nation birthed, because that's the Savior. And so as soon as it was born, he failed, because God is greater than Satan. Really glad about that. She bore a male child who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and his throne. That's where we ended last week. So what's the child that came out of the Jewish nation that's to rule all the nations with a rod of iron? Jesus. And so then he ascended 2,000 years ago into heaven. And then before we get into verse 6, what we have to realize is that in between verse 5 and 6 is 2,000 years of church history. Because it skips right over that. And the next thing that it says, and we'll be reading the verses from here till the end of the chapter. But we have to understand that in God's perspective, the book of Revelation is written to the Jews. Because we're gone. The church is gone. We're going to be taken to be with him in chapter 4. And now he's using the witness people, the Jews, again. And Satan, not that Satan hasn't tried to defeat the church. I mean, look at the way Satan has tried to defeat. And we're going to see this in our text today. He first knew that he was being told by God he's going to be defeated. After he deceived Adam and Eve, he gets told by God, the seed of the woman is going to get you. There's going to be a descendant that's a seed of the woman. Wonder how come he didn't say the seed of man, because man had no involvement. Son of God. Nothing in the Old Testament's about the woman. It's all about the, son of the man is everything, except that, no, God's saying, I'm going to be the father. A woman is going to be the mother. And together, I'm going to make him a human being, and he's going to come and crush you. How? At the cross. He's going to defeat you there. But he still is allowed to do his thing. So Satan, what does he do? He says, well, I'll have my fallen angels cohabit with men and make demonic hybrid people, giants, and they will corrupt the whole world. Got down to 8 people in the days of Noah. And so he tried to wipe out human beings. And then he tried after the flood of Noah, because God spared, God lifted up Noah, took him away, judged the world. He's going to take the church away, judge the world. And after Noah, then he tried to use Nimrod to unify in a rebellion against God again after the flood. God confused the languages to thwart Satan. And then when God chose Abraham, Isaac, Jacob to be the Jewish nation, he tried to wipe out the Jews. But he could never do it. And aren't we glad that there's still Jews today? And you look at what a miracle that is, because God has kept them around. He tried to kill Jesus when he was born, but he lost, because God's in charge. He's tried to defeat you. He's tried to persecute the church since the beginning. He tried to use the Romans to say, I'll just kill these people. I'll rack them. I'll crucify them. I'll I'll heat up these brass plates in ovens and lay them on Christians who refuse to deny Jesus, and let the plates just burn into him and kill him. I'll do all these things to him. And you know what? Just like what Brian was alluding to. This is what Satan says. Then the Lord said to Satan, Job chapter 2. Have you considered my servant Job? This is not in your notes. That there is none like him on the earth, blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. That's what God is saying. God says about you, have you seen my servant Kevin, Bruce, Steve, Terry, whatever else? That they repented of their sin, and they bowed at the knee of my son Jesus and said that I'm going to worship him and follow him all my life. Have you seen, that's what God is saying about you. And then Satan says, And he still holds fast to integrity, although you messed with him before. And so Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. Yes, all that a man has, he will give for his life. And but stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face. Did that happen in the early church? Yeah. Satan was probably saying there, because he is the accuser of the brethren. Right now, he is able to go up into heaven and accuse you in front of God. You do this, you take away the American flag, and they'll curse you. You wipe out their constitution, and those conservative Republican Christians will just abandon you because you let their country fall apart. Hope not. You understand? Everything that could happen to this country should be meaningless to us because our hope is not in this world. And the devil could throw anything at us. And God could allow everything to be thrown at us because he let, okay, Satan, go ahead. Do everything you can do to him physically. To where, you know, worms were crawling out of him. His skin was turning black and falling off. All this stuff that you read the book of Job. And you know what? Job never cursed God. He learned to accept bad as well as good. Are you, and this is the strength of this, is here we are the Sunday before the Wednesday of the Biden administration supposedly being inaugurated. Have no idea what's really going to happen. Although right now, Washington, D.C. is the most heavily armed city in the planet for our peaceful transition of power. My kingdom's in perfect peace. Heaven is not in a tizzy. And that's where I'm going. And I have no idea what's coming down the pipe. But no matter what comes down the pipe, I want to be like Job. And I don't want, and the world's going to say to him, just like Brian said during the worship time, and his wife said to him, just, you know, why are you holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die. How could I curse the God who saved me, gave me everlasting life? Why should I worry about what's happening in a temporary world and ignore the eternal world? There's no way that can happen to a true believer. And we're going to see that today, you know, today in chapter 12. There's a verse, the most important verse of how we defeat Satan. How many here would like to defeat Satan? You know, we're just puny little human beings, but we can defeat Satan by the word of our testimony and that we did not love our lives even to the death. I don't love my American life. I don't love my American life more than Jesus. I don't love my physical life more than Jesus. I don't let, you know, you have to have that testimony that nothing is more important than your relationship with Jesus. And I think the Lord's going to allow us to be sifted. I think he's going to allow, you know, Satan's up there doing his little thing with us right now. And I think God could be saying, before the rapture, he could be saying, no, my American Christian brothers, my adopted children, they don't love this nation, America, more than me. Go ahead, take it away from them before I take them home. Man, we'll sift them. We'll see what's really more important. So, then, verse 6 is future to us. It's talking about the Jews, we're going to see when we go verse by verse. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where, and we already know the woman is Israel. So at some time, Israel's going to go into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days, 3.5 years. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, For the devil has come down to you having great wrath because he knows that he has a short time. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time, 3.5 years, from the presence of the serpent. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went out to make war with the rest of her offspring who kept the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So after Satan is cast down, it says, whoa, 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 because he knows, although he doesn't know, it seems like he knows what the plan is, but he still fights it. He still fights. And he goes, no, I'll just wipe them all out. I'll just wipe them. I'll get rid of them. You know what? Satan hates you. He hates the human race. He hates everything that God loves. He hates children. That's why children get abused by demoniacs. He hates everything about God's creation and mostly human beings. And he's been trying to kill us ever since he fell. So going back to verse 5 again, male child ruled the nation with a rod of iron, skipping over 2,000 years. Why? How do we know this is a 2,000 year gap? Because when Jesus ascended into heaven, did the Jews all run into the wilderness 2,000 years ago? No, they didn't. And were they protected somewhere in the wilderness for 3.5 years? No. Was Satan kicked out of heaven? And, you know, was it whoa, whoa, whoa to the earth? No. So this has to be future because it was never fulfilled. And it's sometimes difficult to see, oh yeah, this can't be. And plus we have another key that's going to be in Matthew 24. Let's turn there. Turn to Matthew chapter 24, verse 1. Because Jesus actually gave us information about this time that's being talked about in Revelation. Because, you know, while you're turning to Matthew 24, 1, verse 6 was, then the woman, Jews, not the church, fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her for 1,260 days, 3.5 years. So, as a background, the disciples of Jesus, they did not understand the first coming of Jesus, as we've emphasized so often. They thought Jesus was ready to set up his kingdom. And they were saying, Jesus, you know, look at this temple. It was a wonder of the world. They're leaving. Jesus has come. They've already had Palm Sunday where Jesus comes riding in. People are saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus has been telling them. He's been telling them, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, be crucified, and 3 days later raised. They don't want to hear that. You know, they misinterpret the Old Testament and go, no, Jesus. Peter even said, no, Jesus, that's not what you're going to do. We got a plan for you. So anyway, Jesus stuck with his plan, didn't go with Peter's plan. Aren't we glad that he went to the cross for us? And so then his disciples are saying, Jesus, you know, this temple will be great for your kingdom. Everything, you know, this is beautiful. And then Jesus says, not one rock's going to be on top of another. And they were shocked. Jesus went out. This is like a couple days before he was crucified. Jesus went out of the temple area and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said to them, do you not see all these? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, you have to really kind of put yourself in the disciples' mindset. That would have just been shocking. And let's apply it to today. I mean, we probably all have loved our country, haven't we? We've loved the most incredible time in human history, to live in a country that's allowed us to live free. And maybe we're too attached to it at times. And God could be just as saying, you know, yeah, you know, we're going to restore it. There's going to be an insurrection act. You know, insurrection act is going to be signed. There's going to be troops and everybody, and the pond's going to be, you know, the pond is going to be drained and the swamp is going to be drained, and we're going to get back to our constitutional government and blah, 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 blah. And Jesus could be saying to us, oh, really? You know, all the monuments in D.C. are going to be gone. Everything is going to be gone. Constitution is going to be the National Archives is going to be burned down to the ground. The Constitution is going to be gone. Everything is going to be destroyed. And the Constitution, the freedom that you had, is going to seem like a thing of the past. Whoa, 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 Jesus, I thought I was getting raptured before this. That's kind of what we think, right? We don't have any hard times. We don't have hard times, Jesus. And I'm not saying he is going to say that. I'm saying in my mind, I'm ready for that, because I'm not looking for this country to be my country. I'm looking for heaven to be my country, and God can do what he wants to do. And he's told me, you know, it's just like he told them, I'm going to be crucified and raised 3 days later. Peter said, oh, no. Jesus told us the 190 nations of the world are going to become 10 under the rule of a global antichrist. Oh, no, Jesus, everything except America, right? We're just going to, you know, you can have your, let the world have their 10-nation global empire, but I want to stick here. No, America might be going into the ash heap of history like all countries and nations have in the past. And if it does, it's because of what? It's because sin is rampant in this country. And God sees it all. He sees all of it. And so we have to see it from his perspective. He's prophesied, if we're living in the days leading up to the global government formation, then we can expect things to not go good this week. If God has mercy upon us and somehow something gets restored, then praise God. But if it doesn't, don't let it shake your soul. Amen? Because our soul is not rooted here. And now he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples, and we find out from other gospel writer, it's only four of the 12, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, were the ones that came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming in the end of the age? Wait a second, if this all gets trashed, then how do you set up your kingdom? How is there going to be the temple of the kingdom agents we're talked about in the Old Testament? How is this going to happen? And Rick Warren would say, Jesus says, none of your business. You're not supposed to be in prophecy. I'm not going to teach you prophecy. That's not what he said, but Rick Warren says that. He twists the scripture to say that God doesn't want us to care about prophecy, and he gives a very detailed prophecy. So they ask three questions. Luke adds a fourth question about when exactly is the temple going to be destroyed, which we're not going to cover. And we're not going to cover the lead into that. So let's go to verse 14. And again, on the timeline that's up there on the screen, I want you, in the ones that you have in your Bibles, for those that grabbed them off of the back table, what verse 15 skips over everything, comes to the midpoint of the tribulation. And all these things are happening at the midpoint that I have in that table in the center. There is this war in heaven that we're covering in Revelation 12. Revelation 10, it already said, it's at the same time Jesus is putting his foot on the land and the sea, and he says, no more delay. That we're heading towards the last 3.5 years. Satan is going to be kicked out of heaven. But when Satan gets kicked out of heaven, I think it's then that the Antichrist becomes possessed and has the power to kill the two witnesses. And we're going to see in chapter 13, he gets killed and comes alive. We don't know exactly when that's happening, but it's right there at 3.5 years also. And some Jews, what we're going to emphasize today, is some Jews are going to listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 24. And when they see the Antichrist go into the temple, declare himself to be God, commit the abomination of desolation that Daniel spoke of in chapter 9 and 12, they're going to finally go, okay, debate's over. Jesus is the true Messiah. That guy was a false Messiah. The people that told me I needed to follow the Antichrist, follow the governor, do what he says, those people were lying to me. I'm going to listen to God, and he is the true Messiah. Jesus is the true Messiah, and he said we're supposed to get out of Jerusalem right now, and we're going to leave. They survived the tribulation period. They're the Jews that survived the tribulation period. The Jews that don't listen to Jesus, they get killed by the Antichrist. Now, again, Kevin, this is future. Who cares? Jesus is doing the same thing today, isn't he? He says, this is the deal. If you die without belief in Jesus, you will die in your sins. If you want to escape eternal damnation with Satan, then you'll admit that God has created us. Admit that he is Lord of lords and King of kings. Admit that his laws are good and he's a good God, and that you violated his laws and you've sinned against him and therefore unworthy to be in his house. And then you go, wait a second, nobody's perfect. Yeah, except my son. He was perfect. And he was willing to give you his perfection to cleanse you, to allow you to come into heaven. And he took your sin and died in your place. So he took your death and gave you life, if you believe. If you don't believe, then you'll be chewed up by the Antichrist, Satan. Because you chose to listen to Satan's deception instead of God's offer of everlasting life, then you'll go be with him, because that's what you wanted to do. I want to be with God. Everybody here want to be with God? He's a good God. He made a way. So we're in the church age, which is gone for what we're about to read. But in the church age, he has a deal. How to be saved, how to be lost, how to reject. The time that we're reading about in Matthew, he's going to tell the Jews, this is what it takes to be saved. Some will do it, some won't. Just like today. But they're going to, some are going to flee, and God protects them, as we're going to see in this chapter. And the Antichrist goes on a rampage. So that's the timeline here. So, Matthew 24:15, skipping over earlier warnings to people about what was going to happen during the tribulation period. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, 3.5 years into the 7-year tribulation period, Daniel 9:27, Daniel 12:11, standing in the holy place, when this guy goes in and stands in the holy of holies of the rebuilt temple, and declares himself to be God, according to 2 Thessalonians 2:3-4. Whoever reads, let him understand. Does Jesus want us to understand prophecy? Then let those who are in Judea, southern Israel, flee to the mountains. And we know from other scriptures, the mountains of Jordan, across the other side of the Dead Sea, and area in Basra. Some people say Petra. Who knows? We'll figure it out. So this is what, Revelation 12:6, this verse from Jesus goes along with Revelation 12:6, which says, then the woman fled into the wilderness. Jesus says, when you see this, then you flee. Revelation 12 says the woman, Israel, fled into the wilderness. Some flee into the wilderness. And then verse 17-21, I've emphasized this in previous studies, so I'll just skip over to say, God says, and you got to do it quick. You have to immediately leave Judea and Jerusalem. No picking up your clothes and stuff, and you got to get out of town. And once again, can the church be here? He's telling the Jews what to do. And if the church is still on earth, why isn't he telling us what to do? Because we're not here. The book of Revelation from chapter 4 on is to the Jewish people and a warning to them. They are the witness now, because we're not, because we were taken to be in heaven with him. And unless those days were shortened, or actually verse 21, for then there will be great tribulation. Last 3.5 years, that's how the timeline says, the last 3.5 years of the great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. Worst time in human history. And as we've emphasized, the first 3.5 years, how much of the human population on earth dies in the first 3.5 years? At least 1/2. At least 4 billion people are dead before this happens, and it says that what happens after that is worse than anything that's ever happened in history. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days were shortened. Now, a lot of teachers, Bible teachers, that reject the pre-tribulation rapture say, right here, the elect, the church, is here till the end. Well, not really. has there been promises made by God to the church that we have to live until his kingdom comes, his earthly kingdom for 1,000 years reign? What does it take for us to get the promises of God? Death and go to be with him, right? What are his promises to the Jews in the Old Testament? Someday the Messiah is going to come and he's going to set up his kingdom in Jerusalem where the Son of God is going to rule on the throne and he's going to vanquish all the enemies of Israel and he's going to rule the world with a rod of iron here on earth. That's an earthly kingdom that he's promised. And the Jews are his chosen, elected people. So in order for him to fulfill his promises of multiple prophecies in the Old Testament, the Jews have to live. The Jews have to live for him to set up a kingdom with surviving Jews to be the 1,000-year reign of Jesus here on earth. And so for the elect's sake, he shortens it or there would have been nobody left. The elect here is not the church. Because I just want to die to go to heaven and be up there. We're not looking for an earthly kingdom. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. And then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christ, false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Now, this verse gets used to apply to the church all the time. Does it make sense? How many of you are looking for another Messiah? Do we know? Does the church, by definition, know? If you're a crazy Christian, born-again, Bible-believing Christian, do you know that Jesus is your Messiah? You have to, by definition. You know he's the Messiah. You know he's the one that died. You know he's the promised one that was sent into the world to save us as sinners. We're not looking for somebody else. Are the Jews still looking for a Messiah? Yes. To this day, they're looking and anticipating the Messiah. If you follow Orthodox news coming out of Israel, you're going to see all kinds of articles. Wait, the Messiah must be coming. You know, we're having this weather right now. This is the kind of weather, this is last week, that leads, this must be the lead up to the kind of coming of the Messiah. They're always talking about the Messiah. And Jesus is speaking this warning to the Jews. Don't be looking for any human messiahs. Oh, he's over here, he's over there. They're ultimately going to embrace the coming Antichrist as their Messiah. And he's saying right here, 2,000 years before, he's saying, don't do it. It's not going to be some guy. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he's in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he's in the inner rooms, don't believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Now that's interesting. And this is, and I'm not going to take the time to develop it. By the way, we have this is called the Olivet Discourse because Jesus taught this on Mount of Olives. So it's called the Olivet Discourse or the Olivet Prophecy of Jesus. It's covered by Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. And they each have different, they add it. So you have to put it all together to get the whole picture. I did so in a handout that's called the Harmony of the Olivet Discourse. You can go to our website, calvarypo.org, and you can just search in the search bar. You can search for Harmony of the Olivet Discourse, and you can spend hours reading and studying that. And I'm just going to say that what I think Jesus is saying here is that if you'd flee, if when I tell you to flee here and in Revelation chapter 12, if you flee, you survive. If you don't flee, then you're going to be killed. One person left, one taken away, one person left. And that one of the gospel writers says, Lord, where are they taken? The ones that are taken. See, this uses a rapture verse. People say, oh, one's taken. One will be in the bed. One will be taken. One will be left. But one of the gospel writers says, where are you taken? Where the birds are. Where the body pile is and the vultures and the eagles are eating off of your bodies that are laying out in the open. If you don't do what Jesus said, the Antichrist is going to come through, take one, leave one, take one, leave one. I think it's actually the Bible telling us one half of the Jews that don't go are going to get wiped out. And he's going to be after the rest of them, but God says the day he shortens the day that they wouldn't be able to do it. And, you know, God could say the same thing to us. He could say, if you believe in Jesus, you're going to be saved. If you don't, the vultures are going to come. You're going to die in this life and die eternally. Satan's going to get you. He's going to take you into his place, which is called the lake of fire, hell, forever and ever, because you reject the truth. So, and immediately after the tribulation of those days, end of the tribulation, just before Jesus returns. The sun will be darkened. The moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven. The powers of heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. He will literally be coming physically back to planet Earth, being seen up in the heavens coming. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn because they messed up. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. He's going to gather the surviving people that listen to him and bring them into the judgment of Matthew 25, the sheep-goat judgment of Matthew 25. Now, the anti-pre-trib rapture people, the post-trib rapture people say, right here, that's another proof of a post-trib rapture. Because it says that when Jesus returns, he blows the trumpet. Oh, a trumpet blast of God in Thessalonians. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we who are alive will be caught up together with him in the air. And so this is when it is. It's right at the end of the tribulation is the rapture, because that's the elect. No, the elect is going to be the people elected, chosen to live into the millennial reign of Jesus. You know, elect means church a lot in the New Testament. It's not the only time. There will be an elected people that got to live into the tribulation, Matthew 25. And besides that, the Antichrist has killed everybody except the Jews that fled away. There's no church to rapture. And what we haven't got to it yet, but we've read it, but we haven't studied it yet. What's going to happen when the Antichrist at mid-tribulation gets possessed by Satan and he tries to kill all the Jews? And then he's going after the Jews and anybody that has the testimony of Jesus Christ. So this also wipes out the mid-trib. Because if mid-trib is true, then all the people that believe and fear God have been taken into heaven. So how is the Antichrist chasing anybody down? The Bible is very clear. We go before the 7-year tribulation, and actually a little bit before that if you go back to chapter 4 and cover our study there. So again, if they... And imagine what happens at the end when Jesus does come. Everybody that bet on the Antichrist. And why did they bet on the Antichrist? It says later on, chapter 13, the whole world stands in awe of this man. Who can make war against him? Who can make war against this guy that killed the two witnesses? Who can make war against this man possessed of Satan with, as the Bible has already said, Jesus says, great signs and wonders? I have to do what he says, because if I don't, what happens? He'll kill you. And then what we understand, and what we're going to get into here in a bit, is the book of Hebrews that says Jesus sets us free from the fear of death. See, everybody will do things to keep their job, to keep their status in life, to keep people liking them, to not be rejected. And that's what controls people is fear. But when you believe in Jesus and you know that only he is the one that I really have to answer to, then they can't control you. You can't be a slave. And people are being gripped in fear. I got a call from somebody yesterday. They're worried about what's going to happen in our country. There should be some concern for what could they do. What could the deep state do? And he says, I'm just thinking, instead of being tortured and watching my wife or children raped, would it be okay to commit suicide? And we went over, discussed that. These are real things that people are thinking about. And it comes out of things like, and we covered this in the men's breakfast yesterday, this is Comey. Remember Comey? Comey was the head of the FBI. Launched the Russian investigation, the Russia collusion investigation and stuff, which turned out to be a lie, didn't it? I mean, we all understand that. And he was interviewed on ABC on Friday. And this is what he says. We covered this. So I call him Comey. Because he was asked, all right, do you consider these guys to be domestic terrorists? And he goes, yes. First, they are terrorists. They are people bent on coercing a civilian government, attacking our democracy because of their warped view of reality. The reason their view is warped is because of the president's lies. And it's not just the lie about the election, which is the prime mover of this attack on Capitol Hill. Was the prime mover attack of the Capitol Hill because of Trump? The facts are, it was planned by Antifa. They've arrested people that had planned this. Trump said absolutely nothing to incite anybody to do anything. And the attack on the Capitol was happening while Trump was still speaking. So that is a blatant lie. And yet, he got impeached for it. You know, they impeached Trump. The Bible says that in the last days, because people will depart from the truth, they will be given over to a lie to believe a lie. Is that happening? Where the lie in some people's minds has become the truth and the truth has become a lie? So what does that mean? We're in the last days. I bet you Comey could take a lie detector test and he would say, so you really think that there was no collusion in the election? Absolutely not. And it would just be flat. Even though there's just unbelievable evidence that it was. And so then he says that basically we have been warped. And actually, did Trump warp us? Did Trump make us? No, it was Jesus who gave me a love for the truth. You know, if the truth was that there was no fraud in the election, all of us would say, hey, forget, give it up, dude. You know, there's no fraud. But if we see all this evidence of fraud, then we say, I believe the truth, which now can get you in trouble because now you're a terrorist. If you know, forget about whether Trump did it to you or not. They're going to blame it that Trump did it to you, and he has radicalized you, and you need to be rounded up. It's 4 years of constant lying about the virus. Who's lying to us about the virus? About our institutions, about the courts, about our democracies. The demagogues' lies have great power, especially when they're echoed by people in the Senate and the House. So we're going to lock them up too. And the media, any alternate media, lock them up. This is how Al-Qaeda radicalized, a constant torrent of lies at vulnerable people. You vulnerable people. And then he added, we have millions of vulnerable people in this country who have consumed these lies, and some portion of them have been radicalized to the point where they believe they're on the side of angels and have to engage in violent direction against us. Do we feel like that? No. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you don't have any violent intents for them. They'll say you do, and they'll say that they have to arrest you before you do it. So it's a serious threat. It's a terrorism threat. Donald Trump is and his enablers. We want to make sure we keep the receipts because a lot of people are going to deny they had any connection to it come a few months from now. But that group of people is a radicalized group of terrorists. So they're saying, let's keep all the data on everybody, because in a few months, they're going to say, okay, you know, yeah, I believe that the elections weren't rigged in any way, and I'm not a Trump follower, and I repent, and they're asking for us to repent, and again, we're a Jesus follower, right? We should be known for being Jesus followers, but in being Jesus followers, we're truth followers, and if somebody else is telling the truth, we go along with somebody telling the truth. And if somebody's telling a lie, whoever they are, we go along with the fact they're telling a lie. But he's implying that a few months from now, there's going to be a crackdown in this country where they better keep the data, which they have, Facebook, everything you've ever tweeted and everything else that they have, and they're going to round you up. And so all that Jesus was saying there, going back to Revelation 11:6, is answering the question of Matthew that the disciples said, what's the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Jesus says, this is how you're going to know what's happening at the end. Then the woman fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. So some are going to listen to Jesus and some are going to flee. And today, some are going to listen to Jesus and they're going to come to saving faith in Jesus before the tribulation starts. They're going to do so because they already know they're in tribulation. They know that they're lost in their trespasses and sins. They're going to realize that they've sinned against God and need a Savior. And some are not. And I hope everybody here has bowed the knee to Jesus. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels fought. And Michael is not very often mentioned in Daniel chapter 10. It's basically he watches over Israel. He is the archangel over Israel. But they, verse 8, Satan and his fallen angels, did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So thankful for that. He's losing his rights to, he gets cancel culture. That's kind of cool. I'm glad that he doesn't, go up into heaven or any longer. He's allowed to go there right now. When we get raptured there, we're going to see him show up somehow and accuse the brethren when we're up there. But then there's going to be 3.5 years into the tribulation. He gets permanently kicked out. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And again, as we mentioned last week, the devil's good at what he does. Should we be surprised that a good chunk of the world wants to believe a lie? Not at all, because he has a power not to just, spout a lie. He has a power to spout a lie, and he's given the power, according to God's word. If people don't love the truth, it says God gives them over that they would believe a lie. So he has he basically says, this person just rejects you, hates your word, hates this. And so can I just succeed in lying to him? And God says, yeah, they don't want me. Go ahead. And then there'll be the tribulation to test us as to whether or not we're going to give our lives to God under great oppression. Because they'll look at you and they'll actually think you are a curse to this world and have to be eliminated. And why? So that we can be tested whether our life in Jesus is more important than anything else. Romans 8 says, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? 8:33. It's Satan. It is God who justifies. God stands in. He says, oh, no, he's justified, just as if he had never sinned, because he worships me and fell at the knees of Jesus to confess his sin. Who is he who condemns? Satan. It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who will also make intercession for us. Aren't you glad you got a lawyer? Satan is up there going, see him, see her. And Jesus steps in. Yep, he's mine. She's mine. I died for them. On this date, they gave their life to me. And I'm erasing the record of wrong. Aren't you glad? If you don't have a lawyer, bad things. Verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now, salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And that goes along with chapter 10, where everybody's rejoicing, and chapter 11 earlier on when the two witnesses were resurrected. It's like now, because when Satan is kicked out, the battle is over. He lost. Then everybody knows what the truth is. Everybody in heaven knows God truly won. He got rid of the devil out of this place. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. That is the verse you should all memorize. Who's they? And they're the brethren. The brethren are who? Truly born again, Jesus-loving, biblical Christians. So we get to duke it with the devil and win. That's what the Bible says. We get to beat him. But it tells us how we beat him. It says, and they overcame him, who's him? Satan, by the blood of the Lamb. So the only way we were allowed to defeat Satan is by the fact God so loved us, he sent his only begotten Son into this world, that whosoever would believe that his shed blood on the cross would somehow mysteriously wash away our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, to make it so that we could be righteous in his sight, just as if we had never sinned. So if Jesus had not been sent into the world, we're all lost. I'll ask people, are you Christian? Yes. Why? Because Jesus died for me on the cross. And then, they've learned that's the right answer. When I can tell they just kind of rattle it off as, I know the answer to this question. I say, well, what if Jesus would have never come? Well, then I'd still go to heaven. Why? Because I'm a good person. I go, okay. No. If Jesus hadn't come to die, all of humanity lost. Lost. So we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Have you confessed that Jesus is God? See, this is what the Bible makes very clear. You deny me before man, I'll deny you before the Father. You confess me before man, I'll confess you before the Father. And so you don't overcome Satan by going to church. You don't overcome Satan by just reading your Bible or by even praying to God. You don't overcome him until out of your mouth you have confessed to this world, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. If not for his shed blood, I would be still dirty in my sins and unfit for heaven. And I'm emphasizing this because, as I've told you lots of times, we haven't got much time left. And when the rapture happens, nobody left behind is my goal. Don't be deceived into thinking, deceived by the devil, that you can just be a good churchgoer and that'll be okay. You have to have confessed Jesus Christ as your Savior and mean it from your heart. And they did not love their lives even to the death. Let's close with Hebrews 2:14. This is so important. And this is what's going to be tested. And I think this is what's going to be tested maybe in this country before Jesus takes us home. We might have to face what Christians all over the world have had to face before the rapture. I was talking to this gentleman yesterday and gave the example of what about when ISIS went into Syria and Iraq? And they would say, you must confess, you know, Christians were in Syria and Iraq. You have to confess that Allah, there is no God but Allah, as Muhammad is his prophet. You going to do that? No. Can a true Christian do that? No. Oh yeah, I'll believe that lie. I'm okay with the lie. No, not if you believe the truth. And so then they say, no, I'm not going to. Well, then we're going to kill your children one by one in front of you, and then we're going to kill you. No, still, no, it's not the truth. And then they behead your first child, and then they behead the second child and the third child. And each time, no God but Allah, no God, no, 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 no. And then they kill you. And we lost tens of thousands of sisters and brothers across Syria and Iraq because of that, when ISIS came through. It's been that church history for 2,000 years. We think that things that could come with a, you know, deep state, you know, purge in this country, you know, couldn't be something like that. And purpose in your heart right now what you're going to do. What's more important? Are you going to swear allegiance to some communist government, deny Jesus, as happened in Russia, China before the rapture, North Korea happens all the time, Cambodia, millions and millions and millions of people dead because they didn't go along with the communist takeover of their countries? I don't know if communism's coming here, but global communism is going to be the kingdom of the Antichrist. And so someday it's coming, maybe in our lifetime. Inasmuch then, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, God created human beings to take on flesh and blood. That's what we are. He himself, Jesus, likewise shared in the same. He came and poured himself as God the Son. He poured himself into a human body. That through death, through him dying on our behalf, he might destroy him who has power of death. That is the devil. The devil is all about death. And Jesus destroyed his power to bring death. How? By releasing those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. If you're afraid of dying more than anything else, then you'll become a slave of whoever bears the sword. Because you'll do and say whatever you need to do to keep your temporary miserable life alive. But if you have faith that this, Jesus said, our life is just a vapor that appears for a moment and then is gone, and that this life is temporary and eternity is long, And you know that to be true. And when you worshiped and you bowed your knee to him, you realized he's changing me. I'm starting to just think like his word thinks. And now I'm calling sin, sin, and I'm believing the truth, and I can understand I'm being lied to with all the, you all of a sudden realize that you have this different dynamic going on in your mind, and you go, you can do what you want to do with my body, but I'm going to go to heaven to be with Jesus when you get done with me. And see, then you cannot be controlled. And you know, the global government people, the deep state, they understand this. Why do you think it's been so important to keep the churches locked down? The churches are supposed to be locked down because you might hear this message. And if you hear that message, it'll increase you. You'll spread that message to others that can't be enslaved. And so it's a threat. You're a threat to the global takeover. And so I you know know they got it. They have to get rid of people that believe the truth. And so we need to be ready for that. Amen. Yeah. At the pastors and wives get together, one of the ladies said that she struggles sometimes with just like, what do I really believe? What we believe is really crazy, you know? I mean, when you think about it, what we believe, that God is going to someday blow a trumpet and all these people are going to disappear. These two witnesses are going to beam down and they're going to be preaching and breathing fire out, consuming everybody. I mean, what we believe is just really crazy, but what lets us believe it and know it's going to be true? Because it's the truth. Because we know it comes out of the Word of God that's the truth. Don't be deceived by the devil. He has 1,000 different ways to lie to us and destroy us. But we can have life in Jesus. Father, we thank you for your Word. We thank you that you've given us everlasting life. If we just simply trust in you as our Savior. Help us, Lord God, to weather the days ahead. As the one hymn says, we don't know the future, but we know who holds the future. And we know that every soul in this room that has bowed the knee to you is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And no matter what it takes to get out of this world into yours, Lord, that we've got reservations in heaven to be with you. And God, help us to have wisdom. Help us to be a good witness. Help us to let go of the things that are temporary and immaterial. And help us to cleave ever so strongly unto you. And just keep the truth the main thing, Lord. Because you are the way, the truth, and the life. And that you would minister to anybody here today that is just struggling to come to a realization of what eternity is all about. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship God in this song.
Salvation belongs to our God, who sits upon the throne. Forever and ever, be
He wins. And you know, that goat that's standing on that rock, even though we can't see it very good because the words were over it. But that goat had faith at that rock. And what the devil said, would say if we're a sheep on that rock, oh, it's going to let loose. You're going to fall. You know, it's going to break. And we go, no, I'm trusting Jesus that if I step out on the cross, if I step out and walk on him, that I'll be able to get to heaven on the other side. Let's believe and trust in God, because glory and honor and power belongs to him, and he reigns in the end. God bless you. Keep you in his care until we can fellowship again.